Hello everyone, I'm Danny Ohana and you are listening to Business Leader Stories, the podcast. The only podcast where you can listen to real stories told by real business leaders. So without any further ado, let's go. Today I'm with Dotan Lazar, CEO at L-Sports. Dotan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Daniel, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and heard good thing about your podcast. So it's really going to be interesting today.
Yeah, most definitely. It's going to be very interesting, especially because it was last night when I listened to your brother's podcast where he talked about the company and its origin story and how everything came about. And I think this is a great opportunity to share this story with everybody about what the company does, how it came about, and about yourself. So take the lead.
Sure. So first of all, the Dotan Lazar, a father to four kids and a husband to Limor. First degree in economics and second degree in law. Basically, my history is not that related to high tech or sports in general. I used to work in a bank, in an Israeli bank, as an analyst, a credit analyst. Right next to the CEO at the time. And during that time, my brother had an idea. He used to work in cyber. And he had an idea of basically creating a website where you have yourself a benchmark of prices of all kinds of bookmakers. Mm. And then you can choose who gives you the better price and you can go with that and earn money from it. Okay. And back at the time, the market was really in its diapers.
What year it was?
It was, I think, 2008 or 2009, mm-hmm. something like that, where you didn't have any live statistics and you didn't have a lot of information that you have today. And then my brother started, my small brother started Ido. Then my father tagged along and helped him with all the administration and the business decisions.
Yes.
And I was also working under the sales marketing hat, trying to, you know, deliver customers to the company so it can actually grow. And in 2012, we established the company. After that, it's history. We basically grew as time and income allowed us to mm-hmm. grow. So we are a bootstrap. We have no investors or anything else. It's a pure funding by customers, which gives us a lot of flexibility, will give us a lot of option to handle crises like we have in globally right now. 2023 yes. is going to be a recession year and a lot of challenges. I like especially to read the economical map and understand its weaknesses and try to navigate the company according to that. So it's going to be challenging, but again, we have very strong growth goals last year, this year, next year. We know where to go and we know exactly what we need to do.
Interesting. You know, I want to point out, because when I was listening to the podcast that your brother did, he said in the podcast that you started the company by sending SMS to clients with different tips on how to bet and things like that. And I was like, whoa, SMS. Like it was really the beginning of everything. Yeah. And this is so inspiring how a company that started, as you said, as a bootstrap, is something that is so innovative. And looking at it from now, it looks so basic, growing up to something so great. It's amazing.
Yeah, so I completely agree. And every company needs to do some way in order to grow and sustain. You know, we started with just the three of us. And now we are in Poland as well, 250 employees.
Wow.
That's a massive growth. And if you don't know how to handle that kind of growth, then obviously you can crash. You need to make a lot of good steps and to have a valid product. And this is what we do all the time. The main concept of L-Sports is just listen to the customers, understand the market, and build stuff that can bring value to it or to its customers. No ego in the company. No, I know better than anyone, and you need to listen to me and navigate according to what I say. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has its own say. Everybody knows different. So eventually we make decisions. And like my father used to say, we made the more good decisions than bad decisions if we got this far as a bootstrap.
That's correct. I just want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. So the company started as a B2C, and now it's more a B2B thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you elaborate on this a little bit so people will get the context of everything?
So the B2C purpose, as I mentioned, it's like a website comparison, like you have a Skyscanner or a Booking or whatever. You know, you mm-hmm. compare a lot of hotels, you compare a lot of flights. This was the original business concept. And we wanted to live out of affiliation, meaning we refer players into the bookies or refer customers into media, and that was the business plan. And we bought information from a provider. Mm-hmm. And the provider wasn't stable enough. The provider wasn't good enough. Coverage was lacking. And we decided I'm sick of it. Let's just build it ourselves. And ever since, we're just building ourselves stuff that, you know, sometimes it's not important to be the first. It's important to be the second best.
Yes.
Because you learn a lot from the mistakes of the first. You need to do a lot of stuff that are... someone already paid the tuition of these mistakes. So we did it. We followed the same path of, okay, we used to pay for it. Now we're going to build it. Okay, we started with the first one. Then we built the second one. And all of a sudden you have 10, 15 different sources. And then, okay, customers are interested in hearing what you have to say. And there you go. And today you have more than 150 sources. You covered the most robust sports offer in the world today. No one even matches what we have. No one. Mm-hmm. Not even public companies that value themselves at $2.5, $3 billion, which is something to be proud of. We send 10 times more information than Twitter on a daily basis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the capacity and the amount of information we are processing in any given moment. Just imagine.
That's crazy. And you know, I think that the thing that is the craziest, if that's the right way to say it, it's that people may not know, but your company is based in Ashkelon, which is basically, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but it's like a suburb in Israel. It's not like the capital of high tech.
Yeah, obviously it's a suburb.
Yeah. And you know, it's an extraordinary story to have a company that is not based in central Tel Aviv, being able to have such a massive growth, because in my opinion, it actually shows the value the company is bringing, so people are willing to join it, even if it's not in central Tel Aviv and all the other things that people in iTech are used to. So that's great. And that leads me to the question, what do you think is so special about L-Sports that makes it so appealing to employees and also to customers, of course?
Well, to employees, first of all, the story about Ashkelon is very simple. We are born and raised in Ashkelon, and we always had it in mind that we will make this place something much bigger than what it is today. Mm-hmm. It already is bigger. Now you have a high-tech company being built right next door. In Ashkelon. So it means that, you know, we've managed, not by ourselves, to bring Ashkelon to the high-tech map, leave the crisis aside for a second, because who knows what's going to be in the next 2 to 3 years. But Ashkelon has a great potential. It's like Herzliya Pituach or Tel Aviv, with beautiful beaches and everything. Our office is actually located 500 meters from the beach. So we can actually see from the window the beach and a natural reserve, Nitzanim. So it's a place to be proud of. And the main thing is is the people working here. I have people working here from Tel Aviv coming to Ashkelon to work. We also opened the Ramat Gan branch so people can have, actually have Walabala. You've seen our movies, I guess, right?
Yeah, I just watched it. I was like, whoa, that's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. So it's you know, we are doing stuff in a very smart way, and with the budgets as we have, we are not Microsoft or Google. We are not planning to be. I mean, the main reason people work here is because of the atmosphere. It's because of having no fear in making mistakes and learn. And we listen to them, each and every worker. You know, I have a routine in the morning. I go each and every one and give him a morning hug. Good morning. How are you? What's up? High five. Let's nail it. That's the approach. Not managing, but leading. That's the approach I decided on myself to be the best CEO possible, because I represent the workers. I work for them, not the opposite. If you look at it in a correct way, I need to give them service as much as they need to give the company a service.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you pointed out this difference between managing or being a boss to being a leader. And as you know, this podcast is called Business Leaders Stories. So the next logical question would be, what is your definition of a leader?
A leader leads the people and the company into rough seas and into high waves. And eventually, like I always say to each and everyone here that comes for a question or help or whatever, if you'll need me as CEO at 2 a.m. because you are running out of food for your babies or whatever, I'm going to be there for you.
Wow.
That's a leader, okay? Be there for the people. Give them the security they need in order to work. If you want something to be done, you do it and you run and they follow you.
Mm-hmm.
And not the opposite. You let them run and then you blame them behind their backs by their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very tolerant organization. It's a very, as I told you, we like mistakes, because mistakes is the best tuition, because I always, again, I have a lot of good sentences. If you don't wash the dishes, you don't break them. So you need to wash dishes in order to break some plates. And it's all about doing here, okay? We've actually scaled technology-wise, I think in the last 2 to 3 years, 10 times higher than what we used to be. Everything is monitored, controlled, based on AI and BI technologies. We used to dream about this stuff. Now everything is focused because we know what we are doing and we know where we're going to. We are a data company. That's our core. Once you know that, and again, it's all about setting the North Star that you can actually walk to. It doesn't matter the path as long as you get to the goal.
Yes. That's very interesting. And I want to ask you, because you said that basically you lead by example and, you know, you go first and then the people follow. And I think this is a really great way to put it. And I want to ask you, because at least for as far as I know, every leader has like a role model, somebody who really impacted them in a way that influenced their own leadership. Who's this one for you that impacted you the most and impacted your leadership style per se?
You know, leadership can be negative and the leadership can be positive. So I'm going to say the negative.
Okay.
I learned from what you shouldn't do, not from what you should do. Okay? So I had a boss in the previous bank, like 14, 15 years ago. And he abused the workers. Mm-hmm. People were afraid in coming to work. People were afraid to make mistakes. I was one of them. The good thing about me is that I'm a people person. So I grew fond of him and he liked me. But it was very rare for him to like anyone. It was abusing. He was abusing. And from that point, I learned exactly how you shouldn't manage workers. Okay? And then along the years, I read a lot of and hear a lot of podcasts about of Simon Sinek, for example, and stuff like that, about how you actually should run a business and treat the workers and employees. And I treat them like an asset. This is, you know, when you realize what these guys are for me and for us as a company, all the rest, decision-making and giving and all that stuff is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. I really like the fact that you said that eventually you learn more about what you don't want to do and how you don't want to be instead of going by the footsteps of something that is already positive, because sometimes it just crosses you by. But when something bad or negative is happening, it's easier to really say, okay, this is not how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So again, when you had such a negative experience, it's a very eye opener. It's an eye opener for your entire life, basically. Okay. It's not something I was used to experienced in. You know, you're never born a CEO, or you're never born a co-founder. You need to take risk, and you need to take challenges you don't familiar with and stuff like that. So I'm happy that I actually had these experiences, you know, as a person, because I am who I am. I'm the total of my experiences, right?
Most definitely.
So I'm happy to have these kind of experiences, because it made me who I am today.
And what is the next step for you? Like, what characteristic of yourself you're looking to improve in order to become a better CEO?
Always learning, I think. I think that, you know, eventually I have good people surrounding me. And this is all you need. Surround me with good people to show me, to challenge me, to teach me. Because I'm not a technological guy. I'm not a programmer. I'm not a developer. I haven't been touching any code in my living years. So when you have this kind of people surrounding you that you can actually trust, all the rest is, you know, easy. I'm not the smartest guy, okay? When you know you're not the smartest guy in the room, all the rest is easy. No ego. And I have good decisions. But I need to surround myself with people that will challenge me all the time. So I wish myself that I will have more and more these kind of people.
Yes. I'm curious to ask you, what was the last time you got off center with yourself? And you said to yourself, okay, I need to really, you know, learn from this experience to be more in mental control or to act differently next time.
We had an M&A with Elvision. It was a company. He opened it in 2018. We had a merge, and we merged the employees over there to L-Sports, and we did so many mistakes. This was our first M&A. You know, we treated them in the worst way possible. Like, okay, that's it. Come inside. Now you're L-Sports. That was one of my worst experiences as a manager. I learned a lot from that, because that was the first M&A ever to be in L-Sports. And ever since then, we've done another one, and we've done it so much better with the company in Poland, which is almost half of L-Sports employees, the numbers, and we did a very good job over there, and still are. I mean, it's still not done yet, but we're going to make this company something very good. So the concept is, you do mistakes, you need to acknowledge the mistakes, okay? You don't need to hide from them. You don't need to hide it from anyone. You say it proudly, okay? So everyone can hear. I also, by the way, apologize to each and every one of the workers. Got them into my room. I told them, there have been mistakes. I'm personally sorry and take full responsibility on that, and we'll fix that. That's leadership. Again, coming back to base one.
I'm super intrigued to ask you, what was the mistake? Like, if you can pinpoint on one thing.
The mistake was actually when we started the process, it was June. I told them something specific that, okay, you as a unit are going to be preserved, and it was a small team, like I think 8 people, you're going to preserve yourself as a unit, and you will keep on running and doing what you wanted to do. And then I have meetings with my management, and again, smart people surrounding me and saying, look, we need to separate these guys because I need them here and there and there and blah, blah, blah. So after 1 month, after I said, okay, guys, you know, we're gonna keep you as a unit because you bring value, we dismantled the entire team and then switched it into small pieces. Mm. And as a person, I always keep my word. If I said something, it's not gonna screw me 1 year after saying, okay, you promised me this and that. If I promise something or I said something, in 99.999% of the cases, it will happen. And in this small percent, it probably wasn't up to me. So I missed it. But
yes,
it's so rare. So again, it's about leadership and about trust. If you say something, you need to stick to it. It's like working with kids. If you always lie to them, they will lose trust. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they won't believe. And then they will change their behavior accordingly. And I'm not a lying person in general. Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. And I want to ask you as well about the other side of the coin. What was the last time you surprised yourself with your calmness, with your way to control the situation? And you were like, whoa, I've grown quite a bit as a person.
You know, I'm a pretty calm person in general. You can't really squeeze nerves out of me. I mean, I worked here for 12 years since it started. I never, you know, threw a chair on the wall or something. it never happened. I'm not even raising my voice. Okay, it's literally working in a very calm environment where you can actually make decisions, not out of stress. Okay, you can always have stress, but I'm always keeping the temperature at 36.8. I'm not letting myself heat up because I know that, again, the bottom line is that each and every one of these guys working with me here is doing their best efforts, their 100% maximum effort to bring the company to its value. When you know that, again, you can't be pissed. You just set up the goals, you set up the tasks, and I have managers to do that, but you set up the North Star, as I said. So I wasn't in a position to yell, to scream, to hit on the table and say, I want it tomorrow. Okay, we have specific order in our work and we stick to it.
That's really good to hear because I've heard so many stories about CEOs who lose their temper and really, you know, so yeah. That's really good to know that you are really relaxed and calm and focused. And also the experience that you've had as an employee with different bosses in the past, I think it really shaped you to be as calm and as... you know, talking to people in eye level.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a story. One of the workers here, I think it was 2 years ago, made a mistake. We work with AWS and he ran on a weekend, he ran a loop command that was costing us $190,000.
Wow.
Yeah. 3 days, $190,000.
Wow. Okay.
600,000 shekels. Okay. The first thing I did while coming to the office was hug him, tell him everything's okay. We're going to take it and manage it. I talked with AWS, 50% discount. I talked with this, another loop in that. We got off at to pay 40% out of the entire damage. And the worker knows that he's backed up by the CEO for its mistakes. And none of these guys were fired. And we learn from the mistakes. You know, each and every mistake is a tuition that is paid this way or another. Instead of slapping him, I hugged him. Okay? This is the mentality of L Sports.
Wow, I have to say this is one of the best stories I've ever heard. And, you know, it really hit home for me because I had like a similar experience, but very different experience. I ordered business cards and I had like a typo in them. And so I had to reorder them. And I was so stressed out, even though it was something like, let's say, $200 per se. I was so stressed. I felt so, so guilty that, oh my God, I can't believe it's like my second month here in this job and I'm already spending $200 because of a typo. And I was so stressed out. And of course that my bosses were supportive and everything. And they were like, oh, that's nothing. You just reorder it. But you know, I cannot even imagine the stress level of this employee who got, you know, so deep into this mistake. Wow. And the way you handled it, I think it's beautiful. And I, you know, it's fine to say, but sometimes hugging somebody or being affectionate toward them in a hard situation is so much needed, because having this emotional proximity, it's so undervalued, I think, today, when people think that you should be like super professional per se and keep everything in a professional manner. And I think that the personal relationships are the key for successes. And it is no surprise, the success of L Sports, as you describe it. I think this is the DNA of the company by the story that you've told. It's so amazing.
Yeah. This is what we have established. Again, determining the DNA of the company is super important and super hard and super tricky, because it can change when you go bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, things change. But just 3 days ago, on a Saturday before the New Year's kicked in, I have released the 10 commands of L Sports. Okay? Mm-hmm. Pat yourself on the back. Learn. Don't put yourself in a bubble. Okay? Always expose yourself to new materials. This is our 10 commands. So people know exactly what I'm expecting. As I say to each and every one of the candidates coming to my office for interviews, I will always give you my 100%. Mm. But in return, you will need to give me your 200%.
Mm. Most definitely.
That's Most it. Definitely. This is how it runs. And it's running perfectly. Again, perfectly. We have hiccups, but you know, here and there, different managing styles. But for a few of my managers, but eventually it's all running as I expect it to run.
Mm. Did you dream your life to be like this?
Never. Never. You know, we had a crossroad, like, I think, when LVision was established, we saw different visions, Ido and myself and my father. You know, you talked about it at first. What is the percentages of success for a company located in Ashkelon, in high-tech, built as a bootstrap, mm-hmm. by a family that is not, you know, with any business experience whatsoever? I mean, we, each and every one of us, did his own thing, but never ran a company at these sizes, and we managed. It's like 0.01%.
Also in a developing field, this is the, you know, the data and the iGaming and everything. It was super new at the time. So
yeah exactly. So coming back to where I started, 2017, I think we had a big argument. Each and every one of us, you know, we brought the business organizer advisor to assist us in making decisions where to take it next and whatever. And she asked each and every one of us a question. Where do you see the organization in, even Ido asked it, I think, where do you see the organization in 5 years from now, 3 years from now? Where do you see yourself in this time period? And each and everyone said something different. I said, I want to keep it small, you know, I enjoy what I do. And, you know, we don't, let's stick to what we have. We don't need more than that. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And my father said, yeah, I'm also in favor. And Ido said, I want something much bigger. And then 2 years later, I said, I want something bigger. I'm ready for something much bigger. Ido said, no, let's keep it small. And then my father said, also, let's keep it as it is. And we're aiming for, you know, bigger targets, planning an IPO, planning to do a scouting for venues, taking more league rights. It's just the beginning in L Sports. I mean, again, since we are the second best and not the first to do all the mistakes, we know exactly where to navigate the organization. We know where our goal is, and it saves a lot of money. it saves a lot of money.
Yes. And, you know, talking about taking the next step, technology really plays a huge part in taking the next step and staying competitive. What is your stand right now in technology, specifically AI, as it's the new buzzword?
Wow. We are building so many things right now that are AI, BI related. So just imagine that you have a 360 radar that is actually being fed by all these resources, okay? You know how to determine the complete and 100% truth in a sport event.
Mm.
Just imagine, you know the score, what the score is, okay, in real time, and the accurate one, because, you know, sometimes shit happens. Score can change, someone can press the wrong button, and then you get the wrong score, and then he fixes it, and all that stuff. We plan, and doing so right now, to build an SSOT model, the single source of truth, truth in the company, where you send someone to the venue, when you send someone to watch the TV, when you send someone to monitor websites, and you get all these pictures, 360 degrees radar that actually shows you the absolute and 100% accurate picture in sports. Either in when the fixture starts, start time of the event, the score, statistics, the odds for it, tips that we are generating right now based on GTP model, okay, the GTP itself. You know, we are always building the next steps even before they're actually being spotted by our competitors, which is what makes us very flexible.
Mm. Wow, so that sounds very innovative, first of all. And I want to ask you regarding AI and innovation in general, because the iGaming industry, for some reason, and maybe you can tell me why, is few steps behind maybe any other sector, a technological sector at least. Why do you think that's the reason? Why there is so much to be done to really catch up to other industries?
Because of what you've just described, our customers are lagging. Our customers are like 5 years back in terms of technology, in terms of web designs, in terms of a lot of stuff. So now people understand that the buzzword is retention. You need to, you know, to create stickiness with your users, hold them on your website as much as possible, make them bet more, make them engage more with extra statistics, insights, and whatever. So that's what we are now doing in helping these bookies preserve, offer the best offer, save cost on the way, because obviously when you build new technologies, you save either manpower or servers or whatever, because you do much better with leaner services attached to it. So that's the main concept. As you said, our technology is one of the innovative one, but our customers are not still in a position to take decisions about these technologies. And sometimes you can develop something and you need to sell it, obviously. So we believe that in the coming year, 2023 and 24 in general, people will use much more of these technologies, our customers, in order to bring themselves values that they don't have today.
Mm. Interesting. So you say it's eventually about the customer being able and willing to engage with technology rather than just developing it, you as a company. Yeah,
exactly.
I got it.
That's the main concept. And I think that it's actually working. We never work and then take a product risk or whatever. We always ask the customers, consult with the customers, will you use it? Will you need it? When is a free slot in Q2 to integrate it? Okay, it will cost this and that. And that's it. Here you go. You have a product.
Mm. That's cool. And in our last 5 minutes of the conversation, I want to ask you a question, because I believe that leadership
you
is
asked
all
a question.
Yeah, one last question. But it's going to be a long one, so get ready for it. It might take you 5 minutes to answer it. Yes. So for me, I believe that leadership is all about your legacy. So picture this for a moment. You are 120 years old, laying on your deathbed, surrounded by everybody that you love, your family, your friends, your wife, your kids, your favorite people, everybody is around you. And everything that you've created in your life, starting from this podcast, any document, email, tweet, everything is disappearing. And this is your last chance to tell your loved ones three significant truths about life that you want them to live by as you pass. What would they be?
Wow. That's so philosophical.
Yeah.
So the first one obviously is pretty clear. You are the sum of your experiences. Live your life like each and every day is your last day.
Mm.
That's number one. And I'm also implementing it in my life. Each and every year, I'm taking the kids to at least 2 to 3 flights around the world. We've been to Abu Dhabi recently, Thailand in April, Canada next year, this year actually already. You know, living the moment, and I'm a workaholic. I have issues. I have my issues. I'm a big fan of my work. I really love what I'm doing, and I really enjoy, and I really, as I said, I'm always need to be available. You know, it's also a grateful position where, you know, when something is shit, you take the hit. If something is good, you need to tell all the guys that are actually have done this good that they've been great, and wow, what an amazing work. You never yes. take credit, you give credit, and something happens, you need to take the fault. So that's number one. Number two is take risk. It's better to have, in Hebrew, the word of the song, Adif kishalon mefuar bechalomot bamegira.
Yes, how do we translate it?
you better have your dreams fulfilled than keep them inside of the drawer. You know, take risk.
I think it's more like it's better to have like a beautiful failure or a grandiose yeah. failure rather than have a dream in the drawer. Yeah.
So you need to take risks. And again, I'm the sum of my experiences. So when we started the business, I had the one kid up and running, and the second kid was on its way. I was living in the center, mortgage like 4,000 shekels per month, kindergarten for the first kid, another 3,000. Me and my wife like earned net 12. So with the car, with shopping and everything else, you left with a minus on a monthly basis.
Mm.
And we made a decision to move to the south to lower the cost and also leave the bank and take risk on the business, even if I earn less for the coming month, less years, / whatever. So we took a risk, a calculated one, even though, you know, my father resisted, it's not ready yet, and blah, blah, blah. I told him, if I won't do it 100% of my time, it will never grow as we expect it to grow.
You burned up the ships.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, long story short, here is where we are today. You need to take risk. Number three, I have my... number three, after we said we need to keep the wala bala, and after we said we need to take risky life, I think that always treat people in like you want them to treat you, with respect. And a person, I'll find you the quote, which I guide, it the quote is guiding me anywhere, but I don't remember the exact phrase of it. Okay, let me search for a second.
Now I'm intrigued to hear the quote. We are on the
okay
edge.
So yes. The quote is as follow. People will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people won't forget how you made them feel.
By
Maya Angelou.
Yes.
This is the quote that guides me on a daily basis, okay? Always make people feel good, either about themselves or about what they do. If they're not good, fire them. But if they're with you, sacrificing their life for you, don't disappoint them and never hurt them in a way that they will feel you in 2 to 3 years after they're going to their next challenge. Okay? It's not about pleasing them. It's about making them feel good either about themselves or about the way or work they do if they do it in a proper way.
That's so true. You know, most people don't even want you to give them what they want. But, you know, Oprah said it the best. She said that people simply want to know, do you hear me? Do you see me? And did anything I said means anything to you?
Yeah.
This is once you validate the person, it's more important than giving them what they want. Because most people walk this world without feeling validated at any level. And that's what makes you emotionally disconnect and get bitter and get angry and feel unvaluable. So I think you couldn't bring a better quote than this to really finish our conversation. So that was, it wasn't even planned, and I like it a lot. Is there any last thing you want people to take from this podcast before we wrap up?
Be good. Be good. Contribute. Donate. And money will hit you back 10 times. 10 times most bigger than what you used to do. It's all about karma. I really believe in that, and I see it for myself.
Me too.
If you treat people like shit and you're acting like a cheapskate on them and saving where you shouldn't save, either in technologies, either in welfare, either in whatever, it will hit you back and slap you in your face. You need to give your 100% at any given moment. Only after that, you will get back a lot more from the universe and from the people surrounding you.
Yes, because eventually I believe, as you just said, that relationships are preceding results. First of all, you need to have like a good relationship with the person and only after that to see the results, because so many business leaders, I don't know if we can call them leaders if they act like that, but yeah, they put the results above the relationship, and then everything falls apart, because if you don't have a partner to communicate with, nothing can really happen.
I always tell my kid if someone is pissing him off or whatever, either his sister or friends or whatever, the change always starts within you.
Mm.
Okay? You can change your surrounding, that's for sure, right? You can change the people surrounding you, because each and everyone was born with different personality disorders or whatever. You can change that. You can only change yourself. Either you take it to a wrong place or you take it to a good place. And it's a lot to, you know, NLP and all that stuff that actually gives you a better way in controlling your business and emotions. Mm-hmm. Okay? You actually need to grasp that you're just a small dot in the universe. Okay? You're a small dot. You have a lot of dots. You need to know how to work around them and play with them in a way that you will have the upper hand, but in a very smart way.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And just want to clarify that NLP, it's not the AI term, but a neuro-linguistic programming. Because, you know, we have like some people here who might get confused by it. So I'm just making it clear.
I agree.
So just to clarify that. The
good correction.
Yeah, on point. You know, talking about technology and personal development. So some things get mixed up. Dutan, thank you so much for joining us today. I highly appreciate you and your time and really your message. Yeah, your message is really important. So thank you again. And to our listeners, we'll be talking to you again on the next episode. So thank you so much. And of course, I'll add Dutan's LinkedIn and everything on the show notes. So if you want to get in touch with him, follow him, learn more about him, it will be on the show notes. So thank you, everybody, and talk again very soon. Bye-bye.